day, with none but the moonlight to guide them. It was unusual, she thought. Why not wait until morning? Very peculiar.
What do you mean to do?
The voice came from just beside her, melting unexpectedly from the darkness, and Charlotte jumped, putting her hand to her mouth to prevent from crying out. Short and thin, the girl at her elbow had black hair streaked in white and pale cerulean eyes that resembled the hazy early mornings just after sunrise, before the sky fully decided whether it wanted to shed its wispy white robe and don its brilliant blue cover. She was a shifter, and when she did not inhabit this bronze-skinned human form, she was one of the flitting birds that gave the small island its name. Brilliantly coloured, their squawking was a non-stop din, the backdrop to every conversation or quiet contemplation that one attempted on Port Perico.
Are you going to stow away? Put yourself into one of those trunks with nothing but a sack of dried beef and a few potatoes? As long as you can find a water supply, that might not be bad going, you know. I've seen the state of some of the cabins on these passenger vessels, and the trunk might be roomier.
Charlotte swallowed down her laughter, shaking her head resolutely and casting her unexpected companion a stern look. The smaller girl grinned back with a gap-toothed smile, unrepentant. Fiona was sneaky and glib, a master pickpocket and trespasser, and had been an unexpected ally since Charlotte had met her. Shortly after her arrival on the port island, the girl called home. She supposed she ought to call Fiona a friend, but people were complicated, and in any case, she did not have enough experience with friendships to say for certain. Regardless, Fiona had been dead useful and was an amusing conversation partner. I'm not going to stow away. There's only one way that story ends, with me being tossed overboard. No, thank you. The rough voice of the man overseeing barrels being loaded onto the ship split the night air, laced with impatience, and Charlotte shared the sentiment. This one is pulling out in the morning, she murmured, tucking herself a bit tighter to the wall. And I'm going to be on it. That's the plan. It had taken her several weeks to fully learn the routine. The ships would come in, usually towards the beginning of the week, whether owing to actual schedules kept or the whims of the wind, she was unsure. Whatever the reason, once the ships came in, they would not leave again for several days. There was no jockeying for position once they had dropped anchor. The most valuable nugget gleaned. The order in which they had come into port was the same reverse order in which they would leave again at the end of the week, once they refilled their supplies. Food and fuel, libations and money, in exchange for whatever ill-gotten gains they had brought upon shore.
Well, what's the plan, then? It's going to need to be something better than what you pulled on that greybeard last month.
Charlotte's lips pressed into a firm line. She did not need reminding of the previous month. She had thought the Celadon serpent would be her ticket off this rock, had been certain. The captain was a brusque, no-nonsense man, upright and moral, with a fondness for Scotch whiskey, red-headed women, and timeliness. She'd learned as much in the several nights she'd wasted following him, from the tannery to the tavern, as he squinted over maps while eating a bowl of the house stew, then from a money changer to a dim little storefront that sold spell scrolls and runes.
I want to know I'll be able to get back here to Perico without issue, he'd barked at the runesmith. Whether or not I have a return scroll from our point of departure, I want one of these little stones that will set our course, just to be safe.
The point of departure to which he had referred being Atlantis, of course. Charlotte had shivered from the other side of the ship, where she'd pretended to browse items on a low shelf. She had listened in on his conversation the previous evening with another man in the saloon over huge tankards of ale. He'd not noticed her the several days she'd trailed him, hugging the walls like a little grey mouse, unseen and unnoticed, timid and unattractive. Men looked through women they were not interested in fucking, and so, for this task at least, she had made herself to be as invisible as possible.
We'll be pushing out as soon as we're restocked, he told the man sitting at the table across from him, another captain, one whose ship was tied in closer to the docks, destined